This is a continuation of an interview on Wednesday, June 3rd, 1998. The interviewer is Irma Bryan, and we are talking with Mrs. Elsie Inch, formerly of New Jerusalem. Now, we had been talking about your first son, Norman, and you were mentioning that he had to be taken to St. John Hospital. Was that the old General Hospital?
No, we went to the old St. Joseph's.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Now, was your son buried back in New Jerusalem, though?
Yes.
Is there a family cemetery? Is there one particular cemetery that the your family and your husband's family used?
Yes. His father and mother's there, and little Norman's right beside them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And
Now, when was Allison born?
May the 16th. 1935.
Goodness. And,
No, 37.
Oh, okay.
Little Norman died in 35.
Okay.
Because he was three all but a week.
Oh, really? Mm. So he'd been born in 1932 then.
That's right.
And, so Allison was born in 1937.
Right.
And Norman's, your husband's mother was still alive as well.
Yeah.
And living in your house. Did she ever, was it a custom for her to help you with Allison? Like, when your mother-in-laws or your mothers lived with you, did they help you with the young children?
Oh, well, sure, quite a lot, you know, but I never left her with him to go away and leave her alone, you know, to take charge of him to, like that, because... But unless there was someone there to help her.
So what kind of things would she do?
She'd do anything to help. We'd work together at everything there was to do.
Mm-hmm.
We'd both wash. We each had a washboard. There was no washers those days.
Mm-hmm.
We each had a washboard. One would wash in one, one in the other. Both iron.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, we had a good time.
Now, can you remember something that Allison may have done as a child that you felt that, oh, I'll never forget that, or do you have a memory?
Oh, there's so many things I'd never forget that he did.
Was there ever a moment that Allison had with your husband's mother that was quite a sight?
No, I don't know. They always got along wonderful, you know. And I don't know.
He wasn't Grammy's boy?
Oh, well, he always was that.
Did he get away with things with her that he might not have gotten away with his mom and dad?
No, I don't think so. He didn't seem to. You know, I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
Not anymore.
Yeah. Now,
no, she was wonderful, you know, to cooperate with.
Now, what about your neighbors? Can you think of names of neighbors, people who lived around where you lived in New Jerusalem?
Oh, sure. Mr. and Mrs. George Golding was the next house, and Mr. and Mrs. Burgess, and then in their house after that was Mr. and Mrs. Caswell Vallis, and Ben Smith lived, and his wife lived in another house, and we knew them all. Ken Harrison's father and mother and grandfather. Of course, Ken's grandfather and my father were first cousins.
Mm-hmm.
And
the Webbs, right. Or not the Webbs, but the Harrisons.
Yes. And, yes, we knew everybody around there, you know. Everybody in Jerusalem, we knew them.
Was there a main road in Jerusalem?
Sure. It goes from Welsford right straight through to Hampstead. Or, of course, then you can branch off, go central Hampstead. And then you can go out through Hibernia and go on up to Gagetown, of course.
When you were growing up or after you and Ronald had gotten married, was there ever a time when, maybe tourists or a stranger came through town? Or a family moved in and lived for a little while and left?
Well, I suppose there would be people leaving. I don't Oh, yes, there were people moving in. You know, after the war, there was quite a few of the people, the husbands and wives came from Scotland and came over here to live. And I don't know how many of those families were around. And they were all good, wonderful neighbors, you know, great in the community, wonderful.
Was there anything the community did to welcome them or to help them get settled?
Well, oh yes, they always helped them, and I don't know, everybody all worked together anyway, no matter what, you know, it just mm-hmm. seemed that way. And everybody from all directions went to that institute, and we all knew all the women, and mm-hmm. quite a few of them were from, two or three from Scotland or somewhere, and the most of them are gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, what about social evenings after you and Ron got married? What kind of things would you have done?
Would we do?
In the evenings to fill time in, or did
well, what evenings would be left after he'd get through work and get all the work done? There wouldn't be that much time. We'd have radio mm-hmm. and battery radios. Mm-hmm. His mother, his brother in the States brought home a lovely great big cabinet radio to her. Mm-hmm. And so we had that, and it was good programs, far better than they have now.
What kind of programs would you listen
to? Oh, well, you know, you get good news. You wouldn't get the news you get today. I almost got so I don't like to turn it on. Mm. It's terrible, some of it.
Yeah.
St. John's getting terrible.
I guess.
Well, I suppose I'm on the air, am I?
Oh, that's fine. Now, when it came time for the expropriation of the land, your husband's mother had since passed on.
Yes.
So it must have just been you and Ron and Allison.
That's right.
Living in the house.
Yes.
Now that must have been an awfully big house for three people.
Yes, it was a big house.
Could you get lost in it?
Oh no, it wasn't that big. I'll show you the picture of it when I get unhooked.
Yeah. Well, now, what about when it came time to go? How did you and Ron decide on where to relocate to?
Well, nobody would ever know what a problem it was. Mm-hmm. We drove and drove, and we wanted to get a place half as good as what we left. But you couldn't find anywhere. Mm-hmm. We went over Sussex Way and all over. And there was nothing. There was one that we came pretty near, but I've never been so thankful ever since that we didn't take it. And so then it come time that the bulldozers, the machine guns, was coming right across our field.
You're kidding.
Well, it was 1954. And everybody was away. And Ronald, he had been out here, you know, and got this place, though. And they were moving things out. And his sister had come to stay with me for a few days while they were working, coming back and forth. And
so where were you, to stay here or stay in your house out in?
Oh, stay out there.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yes, we hadn't moved everything in here. And we had 29 great big truckloads. And
29 truckloads when you moved to here?
Yes, great big loads, too.
Where would you have gotten the truck? Did you own the truck? Was it?
Oh, no, we had a hired man with the truck.
Oh, my goodness.
And we had a car.
Mm-hmm.
So we came out in the car, and the day we did move, Allison, I guess, drove the car, maybe, and we came out.
Now, Allison asked me to ask you about the tank on the bridge.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to say. It was in 54, and we were still there, only trying to get moved out here. And we were supposed to be out for the 1st of June or something, and this was the 4th of June or something. Well, his sister came to be with me for a few days while they were going back and forth, you know, and because it wasn't a pleasant place to be alone there, you know, and everybody gone, and I heard this awful racket noise, and I looked out, and here, coming across from the next farm over, there's a fence between, and these great big machine guns coming across just waded right over that fence, smashed it right through it, come across that field.
Were they been tanks? Is that what they
were?
Yeah,
great big tanks with a gun out, a great big gun out as far as them hit that wall out in front of them. And I don't know how many there was, but they came, it took a whole line across that field anyway until it got to our driveway. And there was a little brook went down, way down below the house a ways, and a little brook went down and the bridge. And the boys were out here with a load, and they come across to our driveway, and they were coming, going to come up through that bridge to the house. And it went right past our front room, the driveway did, front room windows. Well, I said, if they come, try to come across there, there wouldn't be a thing of that little bridge left. So out I went, actually, I suppose, Alice. Out I go, into the, and I got out in the middle of the driveway. I went down below the house a ways, and here was this line of things, and I saw that they were turning to come up. I don't think, and none of them had gotten across, but this head shot, he was two of them in the tank, or in the Jeep. So he, these two fellas in the Jeep, I put my hand up and told them, just to, made them know that just to stop, you know. So he comes up. And I said that the men are trying to get out and trying to get moved. So I said, if you fellas come across that bridge, they'll never get in again. And so I said, now you don't you come over that bridge. So they way back they go. And he made them all stop. He put, when he come up to the house, he made orders go for everyone, and every tank had to stop.
My heaven.
And anyway, they came, they went, instead of coming up the road up here, they crossed over the road and over the brook, smashed down through the brook, come back on the driveway again. And come right up past our front room windows.
You're lucky your windows didn't shatter.
Well, it's a wonder they didn't. Those guns right out straight, right ahead of them. And you know, you just feel like putting the wind up and shooting them. Oh, I shouldn't have said
that. Oh, isn't that something now?
Oh, it was a... They go right on out, way on out, back of the house and the barns and everything, in a great big field out back. And they lined up in a... Just a great big long line. And that's where they parked.
Waiting for you to leave.
I don't know how long they... Well, I don't know how long they stayed there, but... I don't remember about that. Oh, dear. I hear them coming and see them coming. Mm-hmm. It was wild. Nobody'd ever know what it was like. Mm-hmm. When we went through it. Mm-hmm.